FMX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, Salt Lake City Supercross Review Show, the final one. It's all done. Weege, JT, joining me to talk about that and more. Thank you to Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. RJ Hampshire, your 250 Supercross West Coast champion, wearing Fly Racing. Check it out, man. Go to your local dealer, motorsport.com. Check it out online, whether it's the Evo gear, Kinetic Mesh, it's Formula Helmet, the Formula S helmet, the new Kinetic helmet's doing big things for those guys. It's their number one selling helmet. Check it out at Fly Racing on flyracing.com. Great gear, great company, and they support the sport in a number of ways. Thank you to the folks at Renthal as well. You look at Jet Lawrence winning the Supercross Championship, Tom Vial as well. Renthal guys, bars, sprockets, chains, grips. Mountain bike stuff as well. A really informative website over there at Renthal, from the Fat Bar 36 to the Fat Bar Twin Wall Bar. Trusty old 7/8 bar. They got cloth bar pads back for the vintage guys. Check it out, Renthal.com, man. Thank you, those guys. Great quality products, as we know. And I want to thank the folks at Maxxis Tires as well. Whether it's Mad Parts Kawasaki, whether it's PRMX, they're using Maxxis Tires out there. Putting them in main events with 250 guys, 450 guys, all of that. If you haven't thought of Maxxis for a while, now's the time, I think. Maxxis.com, great mountain bike tires as well. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis for all that they do. And we'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on in the show. All right, everybody, let's bring the two guys on to talk about the final round of the Monster Energy Supercross Series and all that went on in Salt Lake City. Again, thanks to the folks at Fly Racing. And congrats to Fly Racing's RJ Hampshire for the championship. Calling the action with RC and James Stewart. Jason Wygant, what's up, Weech? How are you?
Yeah, it was a really fun weekend. I've actually come to realize that maybe Salt Lake City is a little underrated as a round. I think it had the stigma of, oh, come on, man, Vegas is where it's at for the finale. But I think enough people went there for the seven races back in 2020 to realize it's actually a pretty cool area. Stadium's actually decent. Crowd was good. Views are amazing. It was actually pretty good. I think it's maybe one of the better rounds, although I don't think it's the first that comes to mind.
Before I unleash on you, Jason Thomas from Fly Racing. What's up, JT?
I agree with Weege. It's not Vegas, though. Stadium finale.
No, I'm not. I did not at all imply that it was Vegas.
You literally did.
Yeah, you kind of did.
I said, I think people thought it was bad because it had the Vegas stigma on it. But when you judge it by itself, it's like, wait, this is actually pretty good. I didn't say it was better than Vegas.
I really like the Salt Lake ground. It can stand on its own, but I don't want to compare it to the Vegas finale. That's all.
Wasn't doing that. I feel like I got a bad rep because it was only being compared to Vegas
really?
As a finale.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you compare it to 15 other events, you'd be like,
okay,
it's actually one of the better ones.
I've always thought it was good. Yeah,
it shouldn't be the finale.
It's not Vegas.
Shouldn't be the finale.
No.
It's not. The dirt, the track, the stadium floor, you know, cool city and great views and you know, all of that, but it just shouldn't be the finale. It can't.
I'm okay with it being the finale if we can't go to Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what we saw this weekend.
Where would you put it if we can't go to Vegas?
SoFi? Can we go there? Can we go?
That'd be cool.
I think they probably would like to.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I would take LA Coliseum all day long.
Can we do a track with like real dirt, real good dirt? So somewhere else with good dirt? I don't know. You know, what we saw this weekend.
You could never have a finale on bad dirt.
Well, what we saw this weekend was what we saw a lot.
It's just epic dirt.
No, but it's just the pluses of Vegas outweigh the dirt of Vegas.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll give you that.
Yeah, so like that, it is very much same as Salt Lake.
Yes.
It's just, but going up Monster Alley and all that stuff is cool, you know, for the finale.
That was cool.
And you didn't have to get blasted by the roost of it, but understood. I get it. But God, I don't think I've ever felt roost like that.
Because
other than Udilla.
This race was a lot like a lot of finales, whether it's Vegas or Salt Lake, where not much happened because dirt. You know, we got some water with the rain, but you know, it's not. Yeah, you'd like to see a little better dirt and bigger track. Although this was 56 lap times, so that wasn't too bad.
Were you in the bathroom during the LCQs?
No, but for the mains, for the championships, for the titles, you know, we see a lot of this every year at a finale, and I think it's a little bit of it is dirt related. But I mean, yeah, everything cool as a standalone round for sure. Yes, absolutely. You know,
that's what I'm saying. I feel like I got a bad rap because people were just like, Salt Lake sucks because it's not as good as Vegas. But if you actually compare it to any other round, it's actually one of the more fun ones to go to. But I don't think fans are like, book a flight this year and I want to go to one race. I don't think they think of Salt Lake as one they should go to, but I think they actually should, because if they went, finale or not, I think they'd be like, oh, that was actually, even its position in the, you know, it's really downtown, but it's not like one of these crappy deals where the pits aren't next to the stadium.
Yeah.
But it is still downtown. It's a pretty cool overall setup.
I do wonder if, like, so, you know, the stadium's pretty small, like 34,000-ish.
Is that why it was so full?
It's not big.
Damn.
But, and you know, Feld gets a bunch of money from Utah to put the race there. But, like, if we had a real championship come down to the wire, I mean, you know, with SoFi or with Allegiant Stadium here, 65,000 people to watch, you know.
Yeah.
Feld's getting reimbursed by Utah, so you never know how it works out. But certainly, if we have some great title races, they could sell a shit ton more tickets than 35,000 if, you know, we were in a bigger stadium. So it's something to think about. But
that's true. That's true. But, yeah, the Vegas one, I've heard, they're still knocking on the door, hoping someday
that
they'll allow it.
Let's start with 250s. Let's start with there because, you know, obviously that was the big one. Yeah, I got asked. I asked people, and I got asked 20 times who's going to win the championship in the West Side, and I kept saying my default was tell me who gets to start. And I thought it would be Kitchen because his starts have been good. He lined up next to Danger Boy. They tangled a little bit. That was all it needed. RJ was a little more down the middle, and RJ rode a great race, even going after Hayden a little bit when he didn't have to, and he gets the title done. Levi gave it his all. They both rode great races, but yeah, RJ got the start.
Yeah, that's what I said. Give me the first 200 feet to the race, and I'll tell you who'll win the title.
Yep.
But even having known that, I will side with you on this part. I don't know if it's just the dirt or what, but I mean, bro, it was another star cross. It was another star cross. Kitchen wasn't that far behind him. He could see RJ, but there was Shimoda and there was Thrasher, and there was just, where was he supposed to pass Thrasher? Where is the area to make the move?
Yeah, whoops. Corner after the whoops, because they actually had a berm.
Have a berm, but yep. I haven't been as harsh on the 9 whoops thing as you, but if there were 3 more whoops instead of a double,
yeah,
maybe then he would have been able to make the pass or whatever. Like, and the dirt's probably part of that too. JT, you could probably talk about that more than me, how that affects things, but I'm just like, where is he going to pass him? Where do you pass?
I don't know. I'm with you. It is funny though, in a way, Jordan Smith helped RJ win. They're buddies, you know. Obviously Jordan's the gap wasn't that bad, and then when RJ when Jordan got up, that really got the gap going more so, and Levi probably wasn't getting it done anyways, let's face it. But I didn't think it was funny because Jordan getting up right in front of Levi cost him a little bit. But
JT, you think?
A little bit, but I mean,
I thought it was more once he couldn't get, I mean, he never got Shimoda at all.
Never got him. No.
So I'm like, that's it. He never even had a shot because he couldn't even pass those guys.
Right. But yeah, JT, Starcross, but both guys rode great. So I think that's more of the, you know, more of the theme here is both guys rode great and one guy got a better start.
Yeah, I thought they did phenomenally well. I mean, we knew that both of their paces were very similar. That it was almost the same exact thing we saw in Denver, where neither could make up time. First lap position was one of the most critical aspects. One thing I really thought there was a strong chance of, and thankfully we didn't get, I thought with how slippery the dirt was that somebody was going to like push too hard and lose the front, and it was just going to be over before it started. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get that. You know, we didn't get the battle either, but I really thought someone was going to make a big mistake, you know, in the wrong moment or crashing the start or something like that, and all the suspense would be for naught.
Do you just mean RJ would make the big mistake?
No, I just whoever. Like, I, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, we've seen Levi screw up starts and
yeah.
Whatever, like neither of them are impervious to a mistake. I just thought with the way the conditions were, and I just thought it would come down to something like that, and they wouldn't even see each other, and mm-hmm. they kind of did, kind of didn't. But yeah, thankfully, at least we got something out of it.
Had to been like agonizing for Levi and hopeful for RJ when they crossed each other coming out of the cross the start. You know, RJ could see Levi, Levi could see RJ, and it's like okay, like. Levi's just like, duh, and RJ's like, yeah, I got it. Still same gap, you know, all of that.
Yeah. So. I mean, to me, though, it really felt like all day RJ was just – he was just ready. Like, it was the best I've seen him look
yeah.
in an afternoon, probably all season. He just looked ready to do this thing. And that's why I picked him. I didn't plan on picking anybody, but after I watched qualifying practice, and Levi didn't look great, but it was more how RJ just looked so confident. I was like, man, he just – doesn't look like the moment's going to be too big for him here. Like, he looks ready to go, and maybe screws it up. But right now, he looks ultra-confident, and in the end, he kind of played that out.
Yeah, it was funny to see the – so the first practice, Levi was kind of off the pace. I think RJ was quickest. And then the next one, Levi started first or right up front anyways, and he was laying down some heaters, and RJ still beat him, I believe, by the end. You know,
yeah,
you could see Levi was trying to be more aggressive, trying to lay it down. And then what do you know, by the end of practice, there's RJ beating him again. Not by a lot, but being faster, you know. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, he was great all day long, RJ was. He had a close moment in the second lap of the main, but nothing for RJ. That probably didn't even rank on a scale of 1 to 10 for RJ. But, yeah, great race. Weej.
Hey, JT, said in the heat race, which he did win over RJ, but again, they were very closely matched. But obviously, compared to being 8 tenths off at practice, he was way improved in the heat. And he said, no, I was just doing laps and race lines. Do you believe that's fully what the gap was, or is that just something you tell yourself?
Yeah, it can be that. You know, he said, you know, we always hear that qualifying isn't very important and blah, 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 but deep down, those guys know they would much rather be happier being the fastest guy. Like, you're trying to do race laps, if those are the fastest, you're going to be happier about being not, because he was certainly faster at earlier times in the season, you know? So, I don't know. I think it had to be playing a role at some point to be that far off coming out of qualifying. There's no way you can convince me that at no point in between qualifying practice and the heat race, there wasn't a conversation about, hey, we need to find some speed somewhere. Like, I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought Will even had a report kind of alluding to that. Like, she went to the pro circuit.
Yeah, they were all rocks in the room, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure he was trying to downplay it, and especially when you come out and do that in the heat, it's very easy to say that. But
yeah.
I don't think that was very much the tone after qualifying.
Yeah, I agree. I think these guys are – they want that mental edge of being, I'm quickest. You know,
you lean into whatever – the silver lining or whatever is the convenient line of thinking is, you know what I mean? Like, you're always going to tell yourself what you need to tell yourself at the time. That's the way it's always been. It's probably the way it will always be, you know,
except Phil,
how these guys work.
Except Phil.
Yeah, exactly.
still hasn't worked for that part.
So RJ championship, good job to him. Long time coming. Good guy. You know, everybody's happy for him and feel for Levi, who's also a good dude and kind of respected well in the pits. And RJ's plan is to race 250 Supercross next year and then hopefully 450 Motocross. But I wonder, there's a spot there in 450s next year because we all think Christian Craig won't be back. I wonder if they'll put him up there if he finally makes the move up.
I don't think so. I think for Motocross, you could be right, but I don't think so for Supercross.
No matter how well it goes or whatever, you just –
No, I think he'll run the number one plate in Supercross next year. I do. And then he'll make the move after that.
Mm, yeah, interesting to see.
You're just putting money on the table. You're just leaving – another championship and 5 potential race wins, say, bonus money on the table. You know, no offense, but you can't count on bonuses once you move to the 450 class.
Well, and they have a plan, right? Yeah. Like, they signed him to be in that class again for next year.
Yeah.
So, yep. Especially with having number one plates, that's a powerful thing for Husky to have that number one plate out there.
I don't want to get Steve started on it, but
well, I mean, how many times
have title pays $500,000 bucks? Race wins pay Bobby $50,000.
He could end up on East very easy with no number one plate, you know. So I mean,
no, not going to happen.
So well, he can't get hurt. He can't get hurt.
Well, I can't, okay, I'm talking. I'm thinking you're saying strategy.
No. I just mean, you know, oh, I got hurt. I got to go to East, you know.
Yeah. Well, they signed him for a reason for that 2-year deal. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the plan. Yep.
Speaking of good, Hayden Deegan was great all day. He looked very spicy right from the start. Laid down heaters, quickest qualifying, all of that. Won the heat. And, he was my pick for the main event. I was thinking that he was looking really good. And, the only thing he could do being 15 down was win the damn race and hope that Tom's – anybody nervous after that heat race from Tom Vielle?
Yeah, Tom was.
Roger, Ian, Tom, us, everybody.
Not good.
But –
Man, what a great job he did in the main event with that start, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he pulled through, did a good job, and Hayden wins, and Tom wins the championship. But, both guys were great. Hayden was really good. He got caught in the main event by Jordan. What'd you guys make of Jordan's move?
A little far back. But what I didn't see was, were there shenanigans leading up to that?
I don't think so.
Not that I saw, but no. I know Jordan was not happy with Hayden after the race. I know that.
That's what leads me to think there was stuff we didn't see.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
A brake check or something.
Is that what he was saying, or that's what he hinted at, or... When you say
he seemed
not
pumped, and I'm like, why could you be not pumped? You're the one that tried to block pass from 5 feet behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, that's it. Well, you know, they do have the heat race from last year, right? They have that run in, and we all think Jordan's leaving the team next year for Triumph. But yeah, I didn't see anything beforehand that I noticed. So this,
I didn't either, but it was very strange.
I was
trying to understand why Jordan was angry, and I still am not sure.
I was talking more about the pass attempt. I was trying to think, what was Jordan really thinking there? Because
I think he thought he had a better run at it than he did. He was way too far back.
Oh, both guys could end up on the ground, you know? So that was odd. But good job for Hayden Deegan taking the champ, taking the showdown win, and then, Vial winning the race. And Vial's been impressive, man. He's been great. He won two races this year, and good job for Tom Vielle and KTM, and KTM winning the other coast too.
Yeah,
Daniel Blair already declaring KTM
and futures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about Hayden Deegan? Your thoughts of him riding Supercross? Can we circle back to that?
I was shocked that was only his third heat race win of his career in 2 years. I was like, what? That's it? Furthering my evidence to win three wins
this year.
Three, and
a showdown. Races.
Yeah. I mean, what? The showdown's showdown. I mean, it's just three wins. I don't put extra emphasis on a showdown. But
Twice the amount of guys? You don't?
Well, just because, good job. You're great. I said that. But to me, like, Vial's just riding for the title. RJ, Levi, just trying to look at each other.
Yeah, they're just cruising.
No, they're just worried about each other, you know, seeing where they're at. But
yeah, Levi was just laying up.
I said great ride. I'm not sure what else.
I know, but
I said great ride.
I love. We proposed this to Andrew Shortleach. This theory.
Let me hear.
Andrew Short was beside himself with Steve.
I could not
believe that.
I don't know. I love Shorty, but he's so far off to talk about Hayden being
okay.
His thoughts on Hayden, I mean, he is all in, Weej.
This is great. I loved it. I had no idea. I had no idea, Weej, and this was, like, amazing that it all went down.
Because you want to talk about Hayden Deegan fan club, I think Shorty might be president, and him and Brian might be vice president and president. So I was pretty surprised at Shorty's take for a dude who, at that point, had won two races, you know, in 2 years. So,
Andrew Short's take on it, Weej, to specify, was that it's pretty easy to see the talent because he does things that other guys can't do and are unwilling to do. And as he matures, when he figures things out, that will take him to the top past everyone else around him. Like, he's already winning. He won three races this year, but when he's, you know, next year, 20 years old, whatever, like, that's all going to catch up. And then he's going to be smoking all other Too Big the Kids pretty badly.
He was my pick for the title this year. I picked Hayden Deegan to win the championship this year. I don't know if
Did you pick
that.
Michael Lessie to win Supercross
No,
titles?
just stay on target here. I picked Hayden to win the championship this year. So, but then the weeks went on, I was going, wait, I thought he'd be better. I thought he wouldn't make the same mistakes in year two that he made in year one. In heat races, in practice, in qualifying, you go through the different races, Nashville, Daytona, Foxborough, and you go through these races, and I'm like, he's making the same mistakes he did last year. That's odd for a guy I picked to win the title. Wait, maybe his Supercross isn't that strong as his motocross, because he had put in some, you know, worldly rides in motocross.
And this is where Shorty was ready to dive out the
right. So that's where I'm coming from. I just specified my whole – I had higher hopes for him.
Michael Lessie-ish.
No, stop it. Stop it.
That's the only rider you referenced.
Stop it. But I was like, why is he making the same mistakes that he made last year? That's all.
Like the Michael Lessie.
Nope.
Yes. You know, Ian Moore's
yes,
second year
you can't
Supercross.
Say no. It's the only rider you mentioned.
Jet Lawrence's second year of Supercross, he got beat. Now, no one thought Colt Nichols would go on to be better than Jet long term. We all knew Jet was unbelievable, but he didn't win the title his first year, and he didn't win the title his second year. But he wadded it in the whoops in, I think, Indianapolis. Yeah. And it was like, he was good, but Colt got on the podium every round, and the kid will learn, and probably by next, and after that, he's going to take off. But for now, Colt Nichols beat Jet Lawrence straight up for a title in year two.
I'll probably pick him next year again.
I think we all will. Yeah.
So Jordan got third, RJ second. Joe Schmoder was on crutches afterwards. He caught his foot on a tough block after the bridge, and they don't think it's anything serious, just a sprain. But, yeah, he was on crutches afterwards. So good job for Joe to gut out that fourth, I guess.
Did you see him? I talked to him. He was much more immobile than I would have ever guessed. Yeah. Like, it was a little worrying.
Yeah, they said it wasn't anything broken, but it wouldn't be the first time.
I saw it. I looked at it, and he couldn't walk, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A little scary.
Kitchen fifth, and so I almost wonder if this will be the – Adam Ciancerillo retired, obviously, this weekend. We'll get to him, and he talked about the how he never would have won that motocross title if he hadn't, you know, thrown away that Supercross title, and not that Kitchen threw away a Supercross title like Adam did. But – you do wonder if it makes him hungrier and, more of a motocross threat coming in, losing the title. We'll see. Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about is, like, I think it's panic button curse. We need to have, like, a witch come in or something. I mean, this is unbelievable the way Pro Circuit has found ways to somehow have titles snatched from their grasp. Like, this is turning into performance art. Faulkner, then McAdoo and Kitchen crashing into each other.
Yeah. If that doesn't happen at Nashville, Kitchen walks to this title. Yes. You know, so.
Yeah. So the only thing that cost him was the teammate going down and also costing himself his season.
Mm-hmm. Didn't cost McAdoo. Oh, no. Didn't cost him anything.
Oh, McAdoo's sitting pretty. Yeah.
But
this is why Hampshire will be racing 250 Supercross next year.
When was Hill? 19? 17?
17. You want to know that you've got some sort of hex on you. All you need to do is know the last time he won this title was with Justin Hill. Like, something is out of order.
Yeah.
The only guy we were able to get consistent enough, rock solid enough to show up every week and be his best self every time.
Yeah.
Could just count on was Justin Hill.
And now Faulkner's out for a little bit. He's not going to start the outdoors.
He's not.
McAdoo's not going to start the outdoors.
Jeez.
Hamaker could do really well, but he's also a little bit like a grenade with the pin pulled, right?
Yes, he is.
Mitch could be down to like Kitchen and who am I missing?
Voland is also.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, Voland's out. But who am I missing? Somebody.
That's all our team.
So he his only rock might be Kitchen, like guy who's going to make all 11 rounds, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we left Nashville, I'm like, oh my God, as of now, because Hemeker missed one race, I'm like, all five guys are injured right now, mm-hmm. the entire team. It's just, and I was telling the Honda guys about this. I was talking to Law, Bill Savino and some Honda guys. I'm like, remember when no matter what you did, you just could not win this title, no matter what? Best riders, tried everything. Ken Roczen, you name it. Geico program. And I'm like, look at Mitch now. It's like they would win. Oh, we'll just put Jimmy Gaddis on a Cowie, which wasn't even good. Still win the title.
Yeah. Ben Townley or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe they ended up not winning any of these again.
Yep. Do you think there's something there with my kitchen theory comparing it to AC or?
I mean,
I don't think you'd put him in the top three of favorites right now, but.
You would not?
I would not.
Why?
I would not.
Why?
No. I would put Vial, Deegs, and maybe Joe.
Ahead of
you? You put Joe ahead of RJ?
No, RJ.
Kitchen, you mean.
Kitchen.
Why would you not have Kitchen in the very, very top tier? Like,
I don't think I would. No, I don't think I would.
Really?
Yeah, sorry. We're doing some
He had motos where he was unbelievable.
He did. You're right. Okay, so you're on my board then with my theory that this is taking the disappointment of Supercross and turning it into a motocross title.
I can see that. I don't know if that's like going to be the difference. I just thought he was going to be damn good anyway. But yeah, maybe that's a 5% more.
Yeah. All right, Thrasher sixth. I got a photo on press day. Thrasher rolled up to Levi, and they were talking. I got a photo from behind and then ran up to Levi and was like, oh, you don't know about Denver? You don't know what happened in Denver? You don't know?
Oh.
He was not having it. So Thrasher sixth. Can we talk about Romano?
Thrasher made it tough on him, so.
Oh, what's that, JT?
What?
Did we ever get any clarity on the hell that was?
No, I never did.
Okay.
Can we talk about Romano? He was, because I was shocked when I saw him 19th, because he was second, third, fourth, fifth. He must have fell, right?
He was just gone all of a sudden. Just, that's all I know.
Yeah, I know he was getting eaten up, but I was like, whoa, this morning. I was like, 19th. Because he was right around.
Yeah, I don't think he went all the way to 19th without something happening.
I don't think so. You know what? I'm gonna look at his lap times right now. Okay, so Hymus, good ride for Hymus, JT.
Yeah, start killed him, but he definitely was better all day. There's no doubt about that. He was better, but I think in that class, you've got to start up front. There's just, you know, unless you're much, much, much better than everybody, you've got to get up there.
Do you think a fall would cost you 3 seconds?
More.
Because Romano only had one lap that was, he had a 101. He was doing 58, and he had a 101. I don't think
that's not a crash.
That's not a fall. No, I don't think so.
No.
So then he never had another bad lap. Oh, wait, the last one, 105. That's a crash.
I could have just been rolling around. Seriously.
Okay, so now I'm going to the lap chart. I got to get to the bottom of this Nick Romano. No, dude, I think he just – no.
Just faded that
I think he just faded. He looks – he's just losing.
Wow.
He's just losing two spots every lap.
That is incredible.
Okay, all right, back to this. Hymus, good job for Hymus. Yeah, there was good ride by him. Tom Vial, eighth, did just enough in there. Jalik Swole, ninth, good season for Jalik. There goes our hero, Phil Nicoletti, Weege, 10th. First privateer guy, all factory bikes ahead of him. After the race, still upset that he didn't get Swole because Swole got him late. Very proud that he beat Shock. Told everybody on his team, he said three times that he beat Shock, their golden boy. So he wanted everybody to know that the West was deeper and that he beat Shock, the golden boy. And he was very happy with his ride. And he got a parade lap. I mean, where do you start? Yeah.
I didn't get to see this parade lap. So what was that like? Did the voice of God, David Lee,
no.
His real name, did they do it?
Well, first of all, we about broke down in tears because Adam got introduced last and Adam got introduced last before Phil. Phil never got introduced. Phil just got brought out for the parade lap, like a you know.
Oh, okay.
But the voice of God introduced Adam, and he came up from behind the podium, and all Kawasaki was there, and family and friends to high five him as he walked down the ramp and got on his bike. Right. So then Lewis said, "Are they doing this for Phil?" I'm like, "I don't know," because we heard he was going to be in part of opening ceremonies. And then Lewis said, the only guy down there would be Bonacci to like high five him. That's it, just Bonacci. So we all thought that was very funny. But then Adam rolls out, and then Phil's on the line. And, of course, afterwards, Phil complained that the retirement hot lap took him out of his normal routine for heat races. So,
Yeah.
But
yep. Yep, terrible.
Then they interviewed Adam, and they interviewed Phil, and then Adam says, Phil and I are going to go throw some whips.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And there was
no
whips thrown, but Phil says he did do a turndown over the bridge.
Did anyone see it as a turndown?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Did Adam do whips?
Adam did whips. Phil said,
Phil did not do whips.
Phil said, my bars turned. So that's what he meant by You know what, though? It's cool, though. Props to Feld for giving Phil the – and then, okay, so we had the press conference. He drops the bomb on us that he won a heat, which no one remembers, right?
In the mud.
Yeah, in the Seattle. The same race.
Yeah, JGR days.
Race he got stuck in the corner. So then I'm interviewing Phil about the parade lap, and he says, it's been a long time since I got a parade lap. When did he ever get a parade lap?
What? What do you mean?
I know. He says it's been a long time since I got a parade lap.
Oh, it's been a long time?
Yeah.
Was he ever top 10 in 450 points?
I don't know, man. We're going to get to the bottom of this on the Pulp Show tomorrow.
I only got a few, man, but it was good. I really enjoyed those. So they're pretty awesome.
I enjoyed it when I was a mechanic and my guy got a parade lap. Yeah. But anyway, so good job for Phil in the race. Good job for Feld on giving Phil an interview and a parade lap. And yeah.
I think, but I'm a little worried. Just hear me out on this.
Okay.
What if, like, Mitchell Oldenburg decides to call it, say, next year? Does Tony Alesi print out Oldenburg's results and Phil's results and say, hey, I'm seeing X amount of top fives. I'm seeing X amount of top tens. Seeing a couple podiums for my guy.
Yeah.
So am I getting press conference? Am I getting – you can do some whips.
That's a great point. I don't think so, but yeah.
I would like you to bring that up to Phil.
Okay.
Yep.
So he's creating problems.
He's setting a dangerous precedent. So Mitchell Oldenburg, whenever you do decide to call it.
Yep.
There goes my hero. Just trying to think of a guy that's around. And by the way, Oldenburg got ninth in the 450s. He's been riding great.
Yeah.
But the point we're making here is, I think you, of course, credited yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The Phil persona, which you credit yourself for having created, is what put him into all these things.
I mean, I've definitely helped the most, don't you feel like?
No, you did. You did. Yes.
I mean, he does write for Racer X, the column, and he is just himself, but...
Yes.
Right. All right. Well, 10th job.
But his press conference was hilarious. So I was like,
"Yeah,
this was great. I would sign up for his press conference every week."
Yep, three curse words he got in.
Yep. Yep, he was great.
Yep. Stupid sport. I don't know why I did the stupid sport. I'm not delusional. I got six last week, but I'm not delusional.
Right. He said delusional like three times.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool that they did that, right? Like, I mean, truly, Phil, everyone in the pits likes him, really. So,
one of my favorite exchanges of the whole evening, Steve, we're on a group chat that he and Cooper Webb are on. And here's Cooper Webb trying to figure out, you know, Rocky style, like, how are we going to tape this thumb? How are we going to get in this? What strategy are we going to use? You know, he's probably in there just getting fired up like a Brahma bull, smelling salts, cocaine, like, who knows? Whatever it is, shoot him up.
Cocaine.
Shoot him up. I need everything you got.
Yeah.
This is the frame of mind I'm assuming Cooper Webb is in.
Yep.
Instead, there was a text fired. Coop, unlock your door.
Unlock your motorhome door, yeah.
Did you see that, Steve?
Yeah.
And Coop just said, typical Phil using me for things.
Yeah.
And then they just start going at it on text. This is at like half hour before the night show begins.
Yeah. That was great.
So you're thinking he's in like getting more focused than any athlete has ever been focused in his life. And instead he's, Coop, unlock your door. No, Phil, you're using me for things. So good.
Yeah. Speaking of the golden boy at club there, Cody Shock. First of all, I like Cody. He's awesome. I don't mean this as in all due respect here. This is one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
They ask him at the press conference, what does third mean to you? And he's like, it doesn't matter. Cody, you got fired in November. You had no ride. You've never been close to third in points in your life. No one would have said you got third ever. This is a great season. And you just said it doesn't matter.
Well, I think I truly think that he felt pressured to say it doesn't matter because Pierce Brown went hard in that direction right before him. Pierce is like, okay, yeah, I don't really care. If I'm not winning, I don't care. And then Coda's like,
I want third. It'd be cool to get third, man. It'd be really cool get third.
Like, I just think he went with the flow.
Okay. He's smarter than that. Cody's a good dude. He's smart. I was just like, give me a break. Come on. So he beat Pierce Brown for third. My point is, he had to go to the LCQ, and then Brown crashed, and Cody Shock beat him, and beat Ryder D, and beat Hammerker, and got third in the points for club. That's great. That's awesome. He rode great, and he got through the LCQ again. So, but come on. Come
on. Were they close at the end? I mean, he literally beat Brown by one position, 10th and 11th, and beat him by 1 point. Yeah. Was it a battle?
I don't believe so. I think
Brown was dead last. Yeah. On the first lap.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Also, remind everybody how Shock ended up going into the LCQ.
He's 1 second back at the finish.
Straight into the wall.
Yeah, straight into the wall.
First lap. Yep. Oh, God.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Watch that water.
That was unbelievable.
Watch that water that we just got.
Dude.
That wasn't, it hadn't rained yet. No.
No, this is just track.
Yeah, this is just track. Yeah. I tweeted.
I was standing on the track with RJ waiting to do his pre-race interview.
Yeah.
And he's like, just like, oh my gosh, this track is going to be a nightmare in these heat races because they had dragged so much loose dirt over the hard pack and then watered it. And he's like, it's going to be unbelievable. Until that gets blown off, like, you have no idea what's going to happen.
That's what Vial said was his problem in the heat. The track was just so bad. Other guys were on the track.
I tweeted
that guys beat him, but still.
I tweeted that it was GH at 4:30. It really was. They needed that rain. We had a weather delay,
it was the best thing to happen to it.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. So good job, Cody Shock. You got third in the points. Club MX threw a few. Not bad for not factory, huh, Mathis? They threw digs at me over the truck.
Oh, okay.
I can take it. I'm fine. They deserve a lot of props, as does Cody. And don't ever say third in the points doesn't mean anything to you, Cody. Don't ever say that again. Because that's awesome.
Is it still they think that they're as good as factory teams? Is that?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe some of those digs were about that. So
okay.
Pierce Brown 12th. I talked to Ollie Stone after the race, and he's not happy with Pierce and Ryder D. He's just like, same things happen. He said there's no improvements. We talk about, okay, we did something wrong, we got to improve, and then we go to the next race and the same mistakes keep happening. So I think Ollie was pretty frustrated. By the way, 17 races for Max Lee, I guess, was too much as a team manager, so Frankie Latham's gonna move over there to be team manager. So
Yeah,
that'll start next weekend for Pat Papala. So all right, and Hammerker hit Beaumaire coming across the start, and that was pretty gnarly. So they were
like, it didn't have a front number plate.
Yeah, they were like eighth and ninth, I think, seventh and eighth. They were both up there and then went down on that crash. Did you guys have that on TV? I didn't watch back yet.
No, I did not see it.
Well,
maybe they did, but I didn't see it.
I didn't see it, no.
Well, Weege, listen, I'm glad you didn't run with it, because the spotter, JH, was yelling, Kitchen hit Vial! Kitchen hit Vial! I'm just like, what? What?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw your text, and I was like,
okay.
I didn't get the reference. I had no idea what the reference was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, everybody makes mistakes. Like, for sure, at first glance, whatever, you make a mistake. Cowie, KTM, I get it. But then JH was running with it for like another minute, yelling about this. And Lewis and I are like, but that's Beaumaire and Hemmicker. And there's Kitchen and there's Vial. So I'm glad, Weege, you didn't, get run with that. It was a pretty good crash, for sure. Cole Thompson, 15th. Anstey, 16th. I don't know what happened to Anstey. I have no idea.
Me neither. I never saw him.
Yeah, never saw him.
Bad starts, I know that, but I don't know anything else.
Yep. Daxton Bennick, 17th. Bourdon, 18th. Romano, we talked about. Max Miller, 20th. How about Marsh Welton? 7th to 4th in the LCQ, crushing the whoops, gets into 4th, into qualifying, right by Max Miller, and then blows a shift or something. Through the
foot peg fell off.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
we had to go back. So I'm yelling like into my talkback, like something, because they're like, oh my God, Miller with the power. I'm like, something happened to Welton, because it was right in front of me. Like, I'm like, something was going on with Welton. He's freaking out, pointing at his bike, like, we need to replay it. And I was very proud of myself because we actually uncovered what had happened. Like, foot peg, he jumped, goes through the whoops, like, foot not on anything, goes through the corner with his foot not on anything, jumps the finish line with his foot not on anything.
Yeah.
Like, it,
yeah, yeah.
It's a miracle that he even got to the finish line the way
yeah.
he did. But
dude,
that's a huge
awesome.
Bummer.
Yeah, so I just thought he blew a shift or shifter was bent or something. But, yeah.
Well, my cue was, I'm on the floor, right? So I get all this extra visual stuff that Weege, Stu, and Ricky don't have. The truck doesn't have. I can watch him go around the track, and I'm like, we need to figure out what's going on. This wasn't just a normal scenario. So I think that's a great part of having so many different eyes and ears and perspectives, because we were able to actually figure out what went on, and then Ricky and James could talk about it. And yeah, I thought it added a lot of context.
Poor Welton. Poor Marsh. Because he was crushing the whoops, because he was crushing it, right?
I texted him to double check. I just texted him peg right after it, and then he immediately sent a photo of his bike on the stand without a foot peg on it.
Oh, he did? I didn't even know that.
These guys,
I think we'd already showed the replay. I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt the 250 main type two titles to be like, and just to confirm. But
I felt very confident we were right. I mean, so there's always some risk in that scenario, but I felt good about it, you know?
We now know what it's like this year without a shock. That was Roxon. But I wouldn't have put money that you could go through whoops without a foot peg, but he did it.
And then I just, I texted Welton right when we were doing this, and it foot peg did not break. It fell off. Yeah.
That's wild.
Poor Lou Dog, his mechanic.
You should have seen him, like, how do you put swoops without a foot peg, man?
I don't know.
It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
I was attacked on social media last week. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I was absolutely attacked.
I'm here for this.
Someone said Bollmer's. On Racer X, some website named Racer X, they said Bollmer's rookie season was great. And I replied, great? Like, it's fine. Like, it's okay. It's a C, I said. C+, I would grade it. Like, nothing bad, but also not great. And I was attacked. At some point, it turned into, because it's Twitter, that a C is actually a failing grade. In my whole life growing up, C was average. But somehow,
that's not a failing grade.
No, but this person said C is a failing grade.
Maybe
whatever school system they're in.
You got to disregard people. Like,
okay. So, and then people are like going on, but he's gonna get fifth in points as a rookie. And I'm like, yeah, but he's never got a top five all year. And there's been injuries. So you can't really say fifth in points is the fifth best guy. Anyways, I you guys back me? Like, his rookie year was just fine? Just okay?
I mean, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I'm good with
it's not, it's fine.
I actually thought it would be better, to be honest.
Did you?
I mean, Anaheim, he's always looked really good. Like, it's so hard. You watch Futures, especially in practice, and you're just like, man, the difference is stark. And Bollmer is the only one I've ever seen in Futures that when he goes through the whoops, you're like, that's pretty good. And then Anaheim 1, he was really good. And I'm like, man, they're really going to have something here. I would have thought maybe a podium at some point.
I mean, he got seven top tens. Like, that's fine. It's good. No problem.
It's fine.
You know?
That's it. Yeah, it was fine. I thought there'd be some point this year we're going to be like, dude, this guy's unbelievable.
Can both of
them? I thought he had flashes, right? You want solid results with flashes. I think the
only flash was Anaheim 1. There were no flashes after Anaheim 1.
He got whole shots where I felt like he was leading somewhere not that long ago.
I think what killed him was he had too many mud races for him.
Well, yeah, that's not going to work for him, for sure.
No, and I think that killed whatever momentum he had out of Anaheim 1.
You don't think in Havasu he got a lot of practice with that?
Yeah, exactly.
But,
so I think that killed Anaheim 1 momentum, and then it probably hurt his confidence, and then, yeah, the season ended up being just okay.
Okay, can you guys go on Twitter for last Wednesday's tweets and just jump in there for me? That'd be great. Thanks. Okay, that's 250 Showdown. Tom Vial, champion. RJ Hampshire, champion. So good job to those guys. And, thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, flyracing.com for more information, motorsport.com as well. Speaking of motorsport, free shipping on everything over $79, and they got a dedicated team of gearheads there to help you. It's the best prices out there, the number one online motocross parts and accessories retailer in the world. They support the Nationals with the Hole Shot Award as well. And, they do a lot of cool things at motorsport.com. Go through the banner at Pulp Mex to help us out. And, great prices and all of that available at motorsport.com. Check it out. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Renthal and Maxxis, I talked about off the top. And, of course, Fly Racing. JT, this is a big championship for you guys. So congrats to everybody at Fly for this. It's a big, big deal. And
that's great. I mean, we've been, you know, along for the ride with RJ for a long time now. So this was a fun one.
Literally the ride. Yeah. With RJ.
You know, some of these guys you don't have strong relationships with. They like a Gim Perez, right? Like he joined the team, didn't have a real history with him, right? So like, of course you want him to do well, but you don't have this established pathway that's gone on for years like we do with RJ. So yeah, this was fun.
Absolutely. So that's your first title since Zacco? Is that?
Yep. 2018.
Right,
yep.
Right.
No, Outdoors 2020.
Yep. Okay. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing and Onyx Maps as well, Weege.
Yeah, Onyx Maps is so good that the AMA Hard Enduro Series is using Onyx Maps to help plot out the tracks, and they keep improving it. Now you can use landscape mode, so you can get wider view of the map when you're driving. If you're in your Jeep or your side-by-side, you can find single-track trails. Go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Off-Road and find trails very specific near you.
All right. 450 class, Jet Lawrence had a little scary moment in One Rhythm early in the race. And up until then, I thought, well, maybe he's going to go for it, push ahead to get a podium or whatever. And then after that moment, he was like, nope, just going to ride around and get the championship. 8 race wins. And is that 6 straight titles? Or I'm not counting SMX. I'm not counting SMX.
Yeah, we know.
So is that 6 straight national championships? Or,
well, 6 straight national, 250 Supercross.
Oh, okay. So not yet.
He hasn't lost a title since 2021.
Yeah. Okay. So 4.
If you count 250 Supercross and you don't count SMX, I guess that'd be 6 straight.
But if you don't count 250 SX, that's 4 straight.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Damn. Kid's good. It's not bad.
He's not bad.
Are you talking about? You said the mistake in the rhythm. You talked about when he came out of that corner and
Before the start,
almost
straight.
Shot.
Yeah, just went right.
Yeah, RC and Stu's theory on that, Steve, was that he had just seen yet again Jason Anderson, or as Lars calls him, the Picasso of racing incidents. Like Jet was right behind Anderson Hunter, then Jet passes Anderson, and RC and Stu think that Jet was like so worried in that corner that he was going to get Anderson'd, that's why he messed up coming out of the corner.
Mm. Sure, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, if you're worried about what could end this title, it would definitely be on your list.
Yeah, absolutely. So after the race, we hung out the Honda truck for a little while. I talked to Adam and then
I saw you there.
Yeah, went to the Honda truck, and then I left, yep. I think, while you were still there. But now I'm getting some alarming videos sent my way from the Honda pits. When I was there, there was some revs, celebrations, all normal, cool human behavior. Did it turn into gorillas later on?
So much so. So first I went over, I'm like, the Honda party will be here the latest, so I better go to the ATM and Husky pit first. So they had Vial and Hampshire's bikes front tire to front tire doing double burnouts. And then mechanic get on, RJ get on, Vial get on, mechanic get on. Pedro, Vial's mechanic, very good at the burnout. I think he was the best burnout rider I saw all night. So well done, Pedro. And then later on, Honda's revving, and Pedro and Vial's brings Vial's bike over to the Honda pit, and they did a double burnout Honda with KTM.
Okay.
You would have loved it.
Yeah, I would have loved it.
I saw this on the Weed Show.
Yeah. They even put a fresh tire on Jet's bike to get the burnout started again.
Lars doesn't like that. He's told me he doesn't agree with that stuff. Nothing wrong with a short burnout. You know, nothing wrong with that. But the I'm going to blow it up thing with the beer and the hot rubber tire exploding and everything else, Lars is not a fan of that. And I tweeted out that, you know, classy Lars, I'm going to delete that tweet.
Oh, because at that point you thought that's all there would be.
Yeah, because I stayed a little late, like midnight, you know, and I'm like, okay, like, you know, but I guess the gorillas came out. I don't know. So, yeah, sad.
The fact that Vial's bike, they rode it over to the Honda truck to do a burnout with Jet's bike, I thought was amazing.
Okay.
Two rival teams.
I thought, okay, that sucks, and I'm just going to move on, and screw you, Lars. I'm going to delete that tweet. But
Now, here's something else you don't know. So they had championship video. First of all, they had food. Did you eat the food, Steve, finally?
I did not, no.
God, how many times am I going to specify we want Mathis to eat our food and then you don't do it? They mentioned your name again.
They mentioned my name again. Oh.
Yeah, the same guy from Philadelphia is like, is Steve coming? I'm like, he's around.
Oh, it was the guy from Philly. I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Yeah, same guy.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah.
Then Lars is like, stick around. We've got videos and speeches and stuff. And then they start the video. And the very first voices I hear are the three of us. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, I saw this already. Johnham asked me if we could play it. Yeah.
Yeah, which, yeah. So they,
which I was great because I said nothing. And you two look like the assholes. So I was great with it.
No, I looked great. JT was the hater.
Mm-hmm. What did I say?
Yeah. So it was from the Racer X season preview videos. And I said, the biggest question this year is Jet just going to be really good and it's going to be the classic hashtag deep field and anybody can win? Or is there a chance that he's so good, he just wipes the floor with everyone, and then they have JT saying, no, not against this field.
And he didn't.
I mean, you might be right, but in the company that of the Honda party, I'm like, yes.
Yes, me too. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And Johnham says, can I play this? And I'm like, absolutely.
Oh, God.
Bro, there was like three or four races to go, and he was tied in points. What do you want from me?
Hey, your facts might be correct, but again, when you're standing under the Honda tent, surrounded by Honda employees and Lawrence family members, I was like, dear God, what clip are you going to use? Yes. Yes.
I did. Yes. Also,
well, thankfully, in the annals of history, the truth is what matters. The truth is what happened. They will understand, looking back, this was a hard-fought championship. And he had – my only point – and I don't care. I would tell them to their face. My only point of the whole thing was that there would be moments where he would go through learning phases, and I think he absolutely did that. I would stand up to that same thing over and over and over. There were times where he made mistakes, got into it with guys, first bad starts, crashing the last race at Anaheim 2 Triple Crown. Those are all learning moments. That's what I expected.
Well,
actually, I'm taking all this out of context just to get a rise out of you. The theme of the video was that when he would have a bad race in this video, they would find a pundit talking about it. Because I think what they really just wanted to illustrate was exactly what he said. What a roller coaster ride of emotions it's been. It wasn't a Jet just crushed everybody video. So they were purposely taking, we need a couple guys saying he's amazing, and then we need some clips of guys saying he's struggling, because we really want to make this point of it was a wild up and down season. But I just enjoyed it the first 15 seconds of
yeah.
it.
No, like I said, when Johnham asked if he could run it, I was absolutely on board with that. But so speaking of the ups and downs, though.
JT's actually the only one that picked Jet to win the title in those videos.
Did you see the back of Jet's championship shirt? I loved it. It was great.
Oh,
JT, did you see this?
No, I didn't. But he did say – no, what did it say?
Well, first of all, what happened to you going to the Honda party? You said you were going.
I was there. What happened to you coming?
For how long, sir?
I don't know. Half an hour?
Okay. I'll ask some people. I'll ask
some
people.
Yeah, I was there. I had drinks with Dan. Ask him.
Okay. I was there. JT and I had a Red Bull vodka.
Yeah.
JT and I did.
What do you want from me?
Yep.
Okay, so wait. I was there before you, I thought, Weege. Weird. Okay. All right, maybe not.
You were. I was here with JT. Then I'm like, I got to go. I hear burnouts at KTM.
Oh,
I
so you
go.
Left. Got it. Okay, then you came back.
I had a ride. The only ride I had was Bondo. And he's like, all right, we got to go. I'm like, all right, well, I guess
I was saying goodbye to my friend Adam Ciancarillo for a while. So, okay,
well, I was
so
there. I don't know, man.
Back to Jet's shirt. It was a shirt on the back. It says Rookie AMA Season Checklist. And it was just boxes with red check marks. Got lapped in San Fran. Survived the season of mud. Got in a beef with 21, won Daytona, won a Triple Crown.
One was, I think, sucked in a Triple Crown.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
check.
Great. It was great, JT.
It was great.
All the ups and downs. So.
Yeah, I love it. Did you hear Jet say on the podium that all the people that didn't believe or haters or whatever can suck it? That was my favorite part.
I didn't hear that, but so
that was odd. Like, is he talking about is that like the Anaheim 2 booing?
That's social media, in my opinion.
Oh, like, okay, I'm fine with that.
Social media, yeah,
I'm totally fine with that. I mean, he got booed, but
yeah, people go hard on the internet, man. Like, social media comments are out of control.
That's fine. Well, and he got booed, so okay, that's fine. Because me, RC, and Stu all looked at each other and were like, nobody thought he sucked. Like,
go on social media after San Diego. It is.
Yeah. But even that.
Appropriate.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I feel like that was personal attacks, which are probably worse.
It is. That's what. I mean, you hold. They. Like, that stuff hurts. Like, they.
Yeah.
I think it's so inappropriate and so out of, like, the realm of what's okay and not okay. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's who he's talking to. Because everybody else, anybody worth respecting their opinion, wasn't going, yeah, this guy's not going to win anything.
No.
Like, even his competitors are like, yeah, he's going to win a lot.
Yeah, but JT, on the flip side, like, that stuff, the media, and I'm sensitive to this, we get sucked into that group when we're not. When we're at the races every weekend, we're saying, you know, the right things. We're saying, you know, respectful, proper things. And then there's nutball media guys, and then we get lumped into nutball media, social media comments, right? So it's a little bit of that too. But I mean, I'm not saying in this particular case, but it's some of these guys.
I don't think he's telling, like, you or I to suck it.
I think Hunter just doesn't like media at all. He puts us all in one group, you know, and it's just like unfortunate. I've tried to talk to him about it. He doesn't really care, but just the whole stuff with the Thrasher thing and Daytona last year and all that. I just think Hunter is off base on, you know, his opinion. But anyways, did you guys see Lars?
I do get worried about being painted with a broad brush.
Yeah.
That, like, social media and media are the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you see Lars' quote in there, by the way? I can't quote it, but Lars, yeah, he's funny when I just texted him. Okay. What else? Ken Roczen was there in an Adam Scene Cirillo Monster jersey?
Cowie jersey.
That was
it's a bit bold.
It's a bit bold, and I think some Red Bull people weren't exactly stoked on that.
I know Red Bull guys are super cool, like they just are. But wow, I did not see that coming.
No, me neither. I feel like Fox could have made him a green AC jersey if this had been planned. But so that was great. Okay, what else? Well, let's talk about Sexton. Took him 17 rounds. He was the fastest. He got pole position, and he looked good all day long, and he gets a win. You know, obviously he's had one earlier this year in the mud, but this one I definitely, like, yeah, he's been riding better, been riding well, and took off with a win in this one. So good job, Chase Sexton. This had to
That's what he's supposed to do.
Right. This had to be a nice feeling for him and KTM and everything else. So Justin Cooper, second. Justin Cooper. Wow, pretty good.
That's a really good ride.
Yeah, that was great. Didn't see that coming out anywhere, that's for sure. Better rookie season, Justin Cooper or Hunter Lawrence? I think we can now debate this.
My debate all along has been that I feel like Justin Cooper and Hunter have been reasonable for a long time now. But nobody cares about Justin Cooper. And anytime Justin Cooper has a good race, it's like a surprise always. And I'm like, he's always good. I don't get it. He's always good. I'm sorry. He's not a dynamic personality, but his riding is always good.
I think the fact that Hunter led laps and won a heat and got two podiums maybe beats Justin Cooper out a little bit, but good job to both of them.
I think for me, the only difference is that Hunter was pretty dominant in 2023, and we don't have that domination type feel from Justin ever. That's it for me. Everything else is fairly close. They're just that. Like last year, there was nobody that could say that Hunter wasn't the best guy. Like, he was hurt a lot. We know Deegan had some good rides, but everyone deep down knew Hunter was the best guy in the 250 class, bar none, period. I don't know that I've ever said that about Justin Cooper, like, indoors and out. I don't know.
No, I totally give Hunter the edge, and I think even though I think Cooper was ahead of him in points, I still think Hunter's season was better. Hunter missed a race, so the points are kind of not accurate. But I just feel like they're close, but no one even thinks of Justin Cooper at all. It's not even,
I'm with you. Oh, a little bit of personality, right? He's a quiet dude.
I think a lot of it is that.
Yeah, not outspoken know, so. But, I mean.
He's really good.
He's
a really good rider.
They have a spicy meatball on their hands next year because Tomac wants to come back, apparently. That's a lot of money. Coop's salary jumps up huge. Do they have enough money to keep Justin Cooper around? He's on a low deal now because it was just sort of like, you know, wants to stay there and stay with its guys. Webb loves Cooper for training purposes, training partner purposes. So, and Husky's got this spot that we talked about. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does or what happens to him. But good season.
Yeah, the Tomac thing is going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Cooper Webb got it out that third. He didn't finish either qualifying practice. He just wanted to get decent laps in and save that thumb. And now he told us he didn't need surgery. I got mad at him on a text and said, you know, why did you say you didn't need surgery? Now you need surgery, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he just said, you can't trust the media. And
didn't he say he got another MRI done?
I don't know. Did he? I don't know.
That's what he said at the press conference. He said he had another MRI done after Denver, and it showed that that ligament was completely off the bone and there was no choice but surgery.
Well, I know some of the Yamaha guys are like, yeah, we wish we would have known.
Okay. I'm just saying what was said.
I'm kidding.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's what.
No, I'm kidding too. Like he was joking, but all right, Anderson Hunter, go Weege.
Dude, it's unbelievable the amount of evidence. And the only reason, the one thing that I just love when the riders have a personality and a persona and they just live up to it over and over and over. I mean, this podcast has lived on that with Stu and Marty and Phil and all these characters. But it just blows my mind that Anderson, this and going too fast off the side of the track, it is just unbelievable how many times this happens. And I know that the feelings in those two camps are much deeper than what most fans think. It's not just on-track stuff, how they feel about each other, the Anderson camp and the Lawrence camp. So when I saw that, I'm like, this is even worse than it looks. Because these two parties do not like each other.
I had no problem with the pass and no problem with Hunter doing what he did.
No?
I'm just like, yeah. I mean, he knocked him down. He's going faster than a whoops. He knocked him down. And then Hunter was like, yeah. You know, I don't like what Bogle did to Barcia, where he, like, knocked him off the bike and everything, because that's a little more vicious. But Hunter just slowly going wide and pushing him and tapping him a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Cool, man. Like, I don't know.
I'm fine with Hunter retaliating, even though I know this is how sports works. The retaliation, your lap down, he'll probably be the one that gets in more trouble. I'm just saying, this is always your fundamental argument. You always judge these things in a vacuum, right?
Yeah, yeah, as racing incidents, right, yeah.
Yes, and I'm just like, no one, when Anderson knocks someone down, just like Freezy, it is never being judged in a vacuum. It's like, oh, it's Anderson again.
But this move, the move on Anderson on Hunter, was, to me, a racing move.
Yeah, I don't know. I try not to talk on those because people see it either way. I feel like, did you had to take up all the room in the berm?
My guess is both of them get penalized, and probably both of them should.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's tough. They don't honestly penalize for block passes that much.
I mean, that wasn't a block pass. He blew him off the side of the berm.
Steve's saying he didn't. It was just a racing incident.
I'm just telling you what's going to probably happen and why.
Yeah.
He has to go
that high.
And he will.
Anderson, I think, has some strikes on him, so that may be the reason for the fine. As of last night, there was nothing coming from AMA. Now, that doesn't say,
really?
Yeah, yeah, I checked in. There was nothing coming, but, I mean, they could review things, so I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but, yeah.
It's tough. I feel like and I'm on Hunter's side. I feel like Hunter was justified, but I feel like the AMA is in a tough spot condoning a lap rider.
Exactly. I think you have to do something.
I feel like you do.
You can't turn a blind eye to it. And also,
no.
If things continue to escalate, you need to have some sort of something on record. So yep. You can escalate the penalties and say, hey, guys, we're not messing around. We need to cut this out.
Yeah, put them on probation. Yeah, sure. I mean, whatever.
Anderson probably is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. He may be. Who knows,
yeah.
Right? But I did talk to Dazzy. I talked to Dazzy after, and he was perfectly fine with what Hunter did. So.
But what about Anderson? That's really the question, I guess.
Well, I cost him a podium spot. I believe Anderson just has top two bonuses. In his deal,
yeah.
So doesn't cost him like $30,000 or whatever, but he probably was going to get Webb, right? Probably going to get Webb.
He was right on him.
Yeah.
I mean, literally right on him.
Yeah. So, I'm fine with both of it. I'm fine with Anderson's move, and I'm fine with Hunter doing that too. But people are angry on social media about it, guys. So.
Oh, block pass?
Yeah.
Got people mad?
Yeah.
Wow, shocking.
Yeah. How do you feel about Anderson's post?
Oh, I didn't see it, I don't think.
Oh.
What was it? What'd he say?
Well, I'll let you check it out. It's pretty long. You're gonna have to read it. So,
well, how do you feel about it?
It's very on brand for Anderson.
Okay, well, yeah, great.
Well, I mean, he doesn't care what people think.
Yeah,
right. And
yeah.
He very much says that exact same thing.
Right.
So, for me, it's not my style. That's okay. Like, that's not my personality anyway. I'm not like Team Pride anyway. But all I ask is be consistent. If you're going to race this way, don't pretend you're not. And he's not. Like, he's just like, yep, this is who I am. This is what I do.
Yeah.
This is my personality. Deal with it. Well, right? And in that vein, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with that. I just don't like when people do something and then go, what? I didn't do it. Like, I'm out. I'm out on that.
We just said this is on brand. Off the track speed and then these types of passes. So.
Yeah. I didn't know if you saw the post. That was all I was bringing up.
I'm with you. And that's the only reason the Freezy stuff ever gets you mad. I don't care what happens on the track. It doesn't involve me. I just don't like the doing it and then saying everybody else is wrong. I didn't do it.
And that's what
that's what gets me mad.
It used to make me crazy about Barcia is when he would do that.
Yes. Yes.
And he doesn't do that anymore. He just kind of owns it.
Yep.
Like, just be that guy. Like, you're going to race aggressively.
Yeah.
Say you're doing it. Like, I will be like, okay, I don't necessarily like it, but hey, at least you know what you're getting.
Yeah, you do you. Right.
Steve, I have a theory here.
Yep.
Is Anderson a little bit of the modern day Josh Grant in the, he's so cool that he does some greasy things, but a lot of the peers and industry people don't really want to get that mad about it because he's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
I have a theory that you're either kind of an Anderson guy or you're not. Like, that's just, he is his own type person, right? It's like the,
yes.
SoCal, very laid back persona. That resonates with a lot of people. It's not necessarily my thing, which is okay. You know what I mean? I guess not.
No, the Grant thing is brilliant, Weege. It's good. Yeah.
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 I think you're like, man, if I don't say I'm down with it, then I'm the nerd.
Yeah.
So it's cool, man. It's cool.
It's gotta be exhausting being Dan Fahey though, with Anderson as your rider. Like, it's got to be exhausting. You're just like, oh, here we go again, you know? And but he's on
They
brand.
Don't like it. They've said that. They don't like it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Barcia. Speaking of Barcia, another strong ride. I talked to him after the race, and he said he fired everybody. He fired his riding coach, fired his motorhome driver, and he changed his bike, and that's why he's better. And I said,
the motorhome driver.
Yeah.
That's a new one for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, so wait. I just thought it was more like you got these KYB inserts and you guys are happy with the bike and that's really why you're riding better. And then he's like, nope, it's everything. It's all my people around me and the bike. And I'm like, oh, okay, goddamn. So, yeah. Yep, fired
him. Yeah, Sorby is out. Sorby's at the races looking for work.
Though the Sorby thing was odd from the start. Can we start with that? Yeah. But anyways.
Barcia. Yeah, but I mean, Barcia was riding awesome last year. So,
yeah,
it was working.
So, he cleaned house, and he got some KYB inserts a few weeks ago. So, but he's riding better. And I said, you know, this has to help you, knowing that you don't suck. And he's like, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Malcolm sixth. Didn't really notice him all that much. He did go down in the heat. He was really good in the heat. He was up there in the heat, and then he went down. Jet seventh. Dylan eighth. Oldenburg 9th, like you said, Weege, good job. Dino 10th. I know Dean was trying to get a top 10. They asked Dean if he wanted a press conference because we all think he's not going to be back next year. And he told them no because he still wants to race some races. Or he said if someone wants to offer him a bunch of money, he'll come back and race. So it's not the last we see of Dean Wilson. So that's why, you know, we think.
Do you think anybody's going to offer him a lot of money to come race?
I don't know, sir. I don't know. But
I don't believe so.
I do. That team is coming back next year. They say they're coming back, so maybe there's a home for Dean to do selective races or something.
There are so many rumors about what's going on with that team and who and how.
They told me they signed riders. They have signed riders right now.
Okay.
Yep. But good job.
And
for
is
Dean.
That is that Uribe? Is that Martin? Who is saying?
A source.
Okay, because I don't know that those are even the two same the same things.
Right. Dean 10th. Good job for Dean. And good job for Mitchell Oldenburg, who looked like he racked his balls in practice really good. Came back from that. Colt Nichols, 11th. I did a good interview with him after the race. And, still not where he wants to be, but working better. And the team's trying. And, wish he could have done better this year. So,
I thought that was maybe his best ride, though.
Yeah, him and Dean were going at it for 10th, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Vince 12th, Justin Hill 13th, McElrath 14th. Stop me if you guys got anything here. Hunter 15th from dead last. Chiz was out for two mains in a row, and I got mad at him on press day. He said if these whoops are good for me, and he was absolutely right because they held up, they didn't break down, and they were blitzers, and Chiz blitzed his way past a lot of dudes. So Chiz was right. 16th, back in the main event. Brayton's guy, Jeremy Hand. Yep. Brayton's guy, Weege.
Is that the vibe you got?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He said he was giving him praise on the Pulp Show last week.
He was? Yeah. Thought he was a good rider.
Yep.
Hard Megan on. 450 bangs pretty consistent. That's, or not, I shouldn't say pretty consistent, but I never knew he'd get to the point where he could make 450 mains, you know, pretty often. That's really impressive.
Harlan won the LCQ. He was much better. He's been riding motocross. He hasn't ridden supercross for weeks. Somehow he's better now. And Fred A. Adam got 20th, and he said Freddie got him in the last turn. It was everything Freddie could do. And he was like, Freddie, if you want that $250, go ahead, man. Go ahead. So he's like, Freddie was not giving it to me, though. Like, there was no quit in Freddie's eyes. So Freddie got Adam in the last turn for 19th.
Yes. did you guys see at the end of the heat, Adam just squeaked in. I think he got 9th for the last lap.
Yeah.
Somebody fell. Simonson. Somebody fell. He was in the battle. He might have gotten there anyway. But he rode back across into the first turn, threw the goggles into the stands, and the crowd was going bonkers. It was so cool. We happened to be a commercial, I think, waiting for the heat race winner interview, but it was so cool.
After the race, he crossed the finish line and laid his bike down and went over and sat in a hay bale, threw his goggles, you know, waved to the crowd and everything else. You know, your guy Brayton did a slow lap around after his last main event. You weren't there, Weege. You weren't there to witness it, but I was wondering if AC was going to do that, just kind of do one last lap a little bit. So, but I thought Feld, they made a really cool video with all sorts of people in it, and mom, dad, and, you know, Mitch and RV and Fahey and everybody, Ryan Holiday. That was awesome. Video was great. Well done. And I thought they gave him the press conference, opening ceremonies, like everything was cool. It was a good weekend for Adam and Farewell and everything else. You guys agree?
Yeah, that's difficult to do because JT, I'm sure you're right with me on this. Especially at East West, two titles on the line, and 450 title up for grabs, and there's Futures, and there's KTM Juniors, and there's Griffin Rocks in there in the Stacy Challenge. The things just kept popping up. And the fact that it still ended up that even Phil and to a larger level AC, they still managed to carve out their time. So much other stuff going on. I was really impressed. Like, it was just enough spotlight, but we still kept it on the other stuff. That is not easy to do.
Nope, JT doesn't agree. Nope.
Oh, no, I thought it was great. Sorry. That's awesome. I mean, they're trying to pack a lot into this show. Three championships, Futures Championship, and then, to be able to work those guys in, they deserved it. It was awesome. It was hard to not kind of feel the emotion of the moment. I was near Adam's family when he was coming down. I got to interview him on the broadcast right before the race. You could tell how much this all meant to him. Just speaking to him and being around him and his family in that moment.
I asked him if he was going to be one of those guys that doesn't ride anymore or whatever. And he's like, well, he may need surgery on his ankle. His ankle's jacked up. But he goes, oh, no, if I don't have my surgery on my ankle, I'm going to be Paul of Vet Track. You know, Cowie's going to give him a bike. So he's like, not like JT and not like some other guys. He says to me he's going to keep riding just for fun, you know. And, go out to Glen Helen with Vincent Way and Nick and Moto Down. So that's his attitude, because sometimes you just never know how these guys are, right? Like, maybe he just never touches a bike for a year or something, but he says no. So.
This reminds me when Jim Hawley asked Randy Johnson, do you ever still pitch?
You ever just throw 100-mile heaters to, like, your wife?
You ever just try to explode birds in midair?
So there goes our hero, Adam Cianciarulo, Phil Nicoletti. Better career, AC or Phil?
Oh, that's a question? Okay.
All right. Okay.
It's tough. It's a tough one.
Simonson got 21st, and he was very excited afterwards because he's made four main events this year and got points in only one of them. And the other three races, he's been 22nd with no points. A horrible rule. And he got 21st now, so he got a point. So Simonson was happy. And Kevin Moran's got into the LCQ. He was about five seconds back in sixth place. And then it was why am I dropping? Tristan Lane.
Harrison was on my fantasy team.
Harrison, yes. Harrison and Tristan Lane. Yeah.
And you told me I wouldn't pick him. And I did, just to spite you. And that's why I don't pick guys like that.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's why I don't.
Yeah, JT always plays it safe at fantasy. He's good at it, but he also plays it safe. He doesn't fall for the guys, the forbidden fruit guys. And then on our fantasy pod, he's like, I'm picking Harrison. I'm like, you're not picking Harrison. There's no way. That's way too risky for you. So, yeah, that's why. That's why.
Yep.
Mach 4 in the whoops and lays it down in the turn.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was everything the LCQ is supposed to be.
It's what I felt like. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah. So Moran's just rode around and got it. And never mind. All right, that's 450 class from Salt Lake City. Good job to Chase Sexton, getting a win, getting a fast qualifier.
He was good all day.
And, he was.
We're not going to talk about him as much as we should because there's everything else to talk about, but he was great all day.
Like Deegan, right? Didn't you feel like Hayden from the start was good all day, like right away?
Yeah, he had a great day, too. I thought RJ was awesome as well. Yep. Like, all the guys that were great in the afternoon showed up at night.
Yep, exactly. I agree. All right. Sexton gets third in the points. Sure, he really cares. Cody Schott gets third in the points, doesn't care either. Sorry, I probably shouldn't harp on that, but that bugs me. Cody's a good dude.
I really think had he been asked first, I really believe you got a different answer. Right. I do.
So should Pierce Brown not care? I feel Pierce Brown's answer was fine. He's factory, right? He should not care.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in that mode. He's been up there more.
Yeah,
like,
I think
expectations are different.
Right.
For Pierce, yeah. I felt like Cody didn't want to be the guy that was like, I'm just lucky to be here. I can't even believe it. Like, I don't think he wanted to, you know what I mean? Right or wrong, that's my take on it, is he didn't want to feel like that guy.
You know, for years and years, when you look at stats, when press releases come out, when you look at the vault, when you look, top three are usually always mentioned. You know, like ahead of everything else. Like a lot of times when you look at different seasons, the top three is listed. And Cody Schott will be there. You know? So I don't know. I feel like it's.
It was a breakout, eye opening season.
Broke a collarbone.
With Cody Schott.
Had a backpack on with a broken collarbone.
Went to dinner.
Went to dinner.
It's amazing. There's so many things.
Yeah. So
incredible.
Speaking of dinner, Weege, we went on Friday night. Nice little dinner, the media. The website media, yeah.
It's hilarious. So, Steve, I mean, JT, you do always give Steve this. Deep down inside, he is a giver at heart. He actually, because he gave so much grief to the Feld PR staff all year, so many complaints.
No, not complaints.
The press box and the coffee is terrible. Or
Just questions and concerns and comments.
Nope.
He takes Sean Brennan and Joe Weber from Feld, their PR team, out. He's like, I'll Friday. And we're finished, and we're pulling our chairs out to get up. And Sean Brennan's like, thanks, Steve. And I'm like, hey, does anyone ever do anything for you guys to thank you ever? And Sean just goes, no, this is the first time ever.
And I was like, really? Like, yeah. And they're like, no one gives us anything. No one.
No. You know, but the reason this is funny is, these guys' jobs, pretty much 24/7, is just being barraged with, hey, man, can I have a pass? Hey, man, can I shoot photos? Hey, can you get me tickets? Hey, can I get a credential? Hey, can I get in the press box? Can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? No one has ever done anything to return the favor on time. It's amazing.
Yep. I feel like, JT, I complain a little bit. I started thinking to myself, these guys are good. Sean and Joe are great. And like, I go back, I'm so fucking old. I remember the days when there was no coffee, no snacks, anything in the press box, right? You were like literally just like Tom Hanks in Castaway looking for anything.
Yeah, I used to go look and see if like the football season had left anything behind.
Yeah, you're chewing on cabinets and plywood and shit just to like try to stay alive. and so these guys have really stepped it up, right? And they've done a good job and it's great to have there.
That's cool.
So then I was thinking like, you know, what if, and also like at Nash, at Birmingham, I'm like, hey, we're going to Philly. Can we get cheesesteaks? Shouldn't we get cheesesteaks? And they got cheesesteaks. Like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I was kind of kidding, but kind of serious. And they actually went and got cheesesteaks. So, and that's that thing of like all the texts, and that's probably worth like $5 for every complaint or text. And I'm like, that probably adds up to a steak dinner. If you just look at dollars.
You hammer these guys.
I don't hammer them, but dollars per complaint, you know? So.
A few more dinners, probably.
Maybe a few more, but it was great. And then we had Moto One.
Actually, did say Seven Deuce did give him a jersey once.
Yep.
That was the only other time. And I was like, yeah, but that doesn't even cost him anything.
Yeah.
I don't think that really counts.
No. All these guys do, I can't possibly overemphasize how many people are like, please, I'm a random photographer who you've never heard of with no credentials. Please give me a free pass.
And then they also say, you know, they give them passes and it's not good enough. They need floor access or they need this pass or whatever, right? Like
constant.
Like a lot
they
of
do stuff for me all the time too. Like right. They're
awesome.
Anytime I ever ask them for help, they're ready to help.
Yeah. So I was happy to, you know, take them out and we bullshit and laughed. We had the Aussie guy from Moto Online there. We had the British guy from Vital there. You know, so
Kellen is Aussie now.
Yeah, he's Aussie.
Oh, he's Australian now.
He's Australian. So,
congrats to Jet Lawrence.
Yeah,
sure,
no,
Kellen's pumped his countrymen.
Oh yeah, no, there's very sense of big pride for him and everybody there at Moto Online. So yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was good times. But thanks to Sean.
It was
and Joe.
Good times.
Yeah, and then you know, we'll be back for SMX, and as Sean liked to remind us, we are only at the halfway point for the playoffs. So, playoffs.
Your favorite championship.
Yeah, that was. Look, I know what you guys are trying to do, and you two are part of the cartel. Like, I know this.
I'm all in.
So I know what the mantra is of you people, but you can't, you know, serve me a bowl of poop and tell me like it's spaghetti. You just can't. So I don't care.
You might have gone a little far with your pushback. Possibly.
Oh, with the burning of the banners?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I was exaggerating a little bit. But, you know, you just... Yeah, you guys like to talk about this SMX thing, but it doesn't mean as much as the other titles.
I think we ended on a fair place where you're like, those championships are, you know, SMX is not as important as the other two championships. And I think we all said, okay, yet. Right now, probably true. You're right. Yet. But the goal is for that to be the biggest one there is. And that'll take time.
And I will say that it does seem... The riders are like, oh, there's really money getting paid, which I don't know why they didn't think that in year one. But, like, it does seem more teams and more riders are like, I got to do some nationals. I want to do SMX. I got to ride this class because I want to get an SMX. Like, it does seem there's more teams and riders' plans are based around SMX because I don't know why they weren't based the first year. I don't know if they thought it was fake money or it wasn't real. I don't know. But, like, they needed a year to see it, maybe. I don't know. But it does seem like more people – are taking it a little more seriously. Weej, do you agree?
Yeah, and that's I think you're talking about like the privateer.
Yeah, just teams and privateer riders and teams and all that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Last year was kind of embarrassing. Like Colt Nichols, everybody, and Josh Hill. Like they made money because they actually like read it and said like, "Wait, if I do X, I will make Y."
Yeah.
And other dudes just didn't seem to know or care. But
right, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. Yeah.
But also, here's the thing: anyone who doesn't I don't think anyone doesn't like SMX, so to speak. But if you don't think, here's the one arguable awesome thing about it. I do not know if you would see Tomac and Webb come back for a couple nationals. Normally, Eli, there's no way in a normal year Eli Tomac comes back. I mean, he's probably going to get worked the first national he comes back. He hasn't ridden one in a year and a half. And everybody had been ridden. Let's say he comes back for Unadilla. They're nine rounds in. I don't think in a normal year he comes back. But this year he probably will.
Well, he's in no matter what because he won a race.
But he's going to want to come back to, you know, get ready.
Okay, yeah, got it. Okay.
Yes, right. And I don't think in a normal year, it's just thumb surgery and I'll see you in Anaheim. So I think that's one of the big benefits here that, I mean, if you get Eli Tomac to race three nationals at the end of the year, that's a win.
Yeah. Yep. So, so thanks to Joe and Sean for all they do for the media and happy to help them out. More anonymous Supercross season. Shane McElrath or Dylan Ferrandis? Who did you guys spend less time looking at this year?
I would say McElrath because Brandis was actually pretty good early.
Okay.
He had a bunch of like top six finishes to start the year, which I thought was like, hey, this is a lot better than it was.
I'll go the other way because Ferrandis was there and then he was gone and he came back. And I don't think when he was, I don't feel like people were like, where is he? And when he came back, I don't feel like tons of people are like, oh, he's back.
Yeah. It's, and McElrath just trugged along, man. Just, yeah, just solid, like 12 to 15th every race, basically.
It is, and JT, you lived around that range. That is the worst spot to be in the sport.
No, it's not. Watching the races after you didn't qualify is worse.
Well, I'm saying when your ceiling is, I can get around top 10, as you know, the sport does not reward that. There is not a great reward for that, which is unfortunate. You know what it is? It's the equivalent of the 500 where you aren't going to win the title, but you're not going to win the lottery and get the draft pick either. That's where McElrath is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's still making, yeah, still make six figures, you know, like not high,
think he does?
High six figures. Yeah. I mean,
no, not
200.
He, no,
grand?
I know what his salary is. It's not six, but when you
I'm saying all in, how much does he make in a year? He makes, yeah, I would say 150, 200 grand in a year.
120 to 140. Yep.
Total. Like everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that's better than I thought, actually. That's refreshing to hear that.
It's better than a kick in the balls.
I wasn't sure if he was making money, like, really at all.
No, yeah, he is.
Okay. Yeah, sure. For sure.
Yeah.
But bigger SMX. Like, SMX helps a lot, too.
Yeah, that does. Yep. And he did World Supercross and stuff like that. I guess my point is, I don't want to tempt Steve here, but you just compare it to the 250 guys. That's the problem.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I don't know, go here.
No, listen. Is
McAdoo a better rider than McElrath? Debatable.
Debatable.
But who's going to make way more money right now?
I mean, unless Shane gets a job at a dealership, you know, to help him
McAdoo's
out.
McAdoo's got him covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the weird void that a guy like Savachi or McElrath are in. They're too good. They got booted from one class. They're too good, but they're not quite good enough in the other. And then they're constantly stuck. Can't quite get a ride, don't have a lot of security. They're just stuck in that void.
All right. Outdoor preview? Some point, Weege?
Yeah, well, we got to do some this week or next, so.
Okay, but we are this is happening.
Get your calendars out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get your calendars out. Okay. I mean, you got a 700-pound shipment from Monster at one point, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Is that still count? Is that still happening? Yeah.
Well, it's pretty funny that we got a fridge for videos we shot in December and you got it in, what, February?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe you need another one by now. Do you need another one?
No, I do not. Do not send one here. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. That's it. Salt Lake City, 17 rounds. That's it. So are you guys with me that the most eventful Supercross of the year was Detroit just because of that first turn crash and McAdoo's twig and berries just hanging? is that the race that blew your mind back all year? Or Daytona? Or I would go Daytona.
I don't know. A lot of stuff went down. Hard to say.
Okay.
The last couple laps there at Dallas, it crashed and they tried to get back and he ran into Freezy and then he ended up fourth. I don't know. I mean, we're like, oh, Tomac's back. That was a good one.
Daytona to me was like, oh, okay, goddamn. Like, this dude just went by Sexton and Tomac, you know, and...
Well, yeah, I don't know. What are you comparing? Like, you're comparing the McAdoo twig and berries versus unbelievable all-time ride? Like,
no,
is this on the same scale? Like,
this is my sleeper picks. This is my rules, like sleeper picks.
Yes.
No, I guess things that you went shocking, like surprise, shocking.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah.
So, the Daytona ride was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then the guys twigging berries everywhere. Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Right.
It was.
So,
it was.
I mean.
Yeah.
JT, do you have an unbelievable moment?
There were a few for me. The San Diego whole Anderson jet thing was like, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I did not expect that the way that all went down.
True.
Some of the, like, Anaheim 2 race I thought was one of the best ones. It was just chaos the whole night.
All three mains, you mean?
Like, yeah, people crashing and unexpected winners and all that.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously on board with the ones you set as well.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was a great season. We got a little bit of everything. We have an emerging superstar. Lots of unexpected stuff went on.
We had a guy's pants rip open, and he did the whole race with bloody nuts. Okay.
I actually really liked what we saw from Cooper Webb. You know, it's not going to get the headlines. I think it should. But, man, you think about how far off he was last, like, September, and to see, like, kind of what he was able to bring it back to, that was really impressive, man. I don't know that I could really put into words, like, how hard it is to get it that much better in that short amount of time, but he damn sure did it.
Especially Weege. I like the Weege at the press conference throwing in the dig at some media didn't even put
you a leading in. Media outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
Put you in their video.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Like we really, I think everybody owes Webb thanks. Cause honestly, that was the last gasp that kept the season really exciting. I mean, other guys had moments, but in the end, if Webb didn't step up his game this year, this would have ended up, I mean, the difference in being tied in points with four to go and what it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
He really helped.
Yeah,
he really kept it entertaining.
No, absolutely, I agree. It was. Every time you count on Cooper Webb, he drags you back in, right? Like one of those moments. So
yeah. And now we're getting the Coop, you know, personality too with these quotes, the arm pump quotes,
and yeah, morning wood, and oh boy, yeah.
Got to take the got to jacket off sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean it comes down. He's just a fighter, like he just is.
Yeah,
he just is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really gotta. Even if you don't like him, you gotta like him, right? You gotta respect him. Say your favorite rider is Jed, or your favorite rider is Dungy. I don't know, all these guys he battled with. You gotta be like fucking guy, like you know.
Yeah, so. Like Ricky says it a lot. Like you may not like him, and he may not be your favorite rider, but you damn sure better.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna come around though. I think.
Yeah, it does.
By next year or 2 years max, you're gonna be like, man, they really cheer for him now. And when he was champ. I mean, there would be no response from the crowd in opening ceremonies, but he's on the verge, I think, of really turning that.
It's just like Jet getting booed with the new kid. LaRocco, Ferry, Wyndham, they like the old fast guy. Everyone does. Yep. They get automatically a bump, right? Coop's in that window, I think.
He's getting there now. Yeah. Think of Tomac 3 years ago to now, the crowd response.
Yeah.
It's like quadrupled the level of cheers.
Nope, absolutely. So,
yeah.
All right. It's a review show. What a year. Are we doing these for outdoors? Reviews?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Why not? Like, what?
Just asking. I don't know. You guys are big TV stars now, so I don't really know. Yep.
Definitely for SMX.
Oh.
Definitely.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thanks to folks at Fly Racing.
Steve asks us if we've heard of them, yet he's the one that gets paid for these.
That's true. So your call, Steve.
Moving on. We're doing them. All right. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. Congratulations for the RJ Hampshire Championship again to the folks at Fly Racing and Renthal and Maxxis, motorsport.com, Onyx Maps, all that. Weeds JT, we'll figure out this outdoor motocross preview, but hope everybody enjoyed the reviews all year long for Supercross.
Hey, what I would like to please review, like, if there's stuff people want us to do, because we've done so many of these, I feel like we get stale at times. Like, tweet us. Send an email to Steve something that maybe we can incorporate, because they're harder via Zoom, which we'll be doing. So I would like to hear some suggestions. Some of them will be terrible, I'm sure, but that's okay.
Oh, for the preview videos.
I thought you meant this show.
Yeah. No, for the preview vids.
Yeah. The problem, the motocross previews are tough because it's not that different from Supercross. It's just there's not a lot of tell me something I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing that's great about these is you know who's racing the fucking classes. So that's a great part. You know, there is that part. But if you want, as far as these review shows, if you have suggestions about more dinner talks or meat or jackets, all of that, e-bike talk, happy.
Yeah, people love it.
Happy to do that for you people. So
people love it.
All right. Thanks, boys.
All right. See you guys.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air.
Don't change a thing with me.